Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, again asking you to join us. Get your cup of coffee and your Bible. And we are in the book of Mark, chapter 14. We're starting in verse 43.
Hi, this is Andy. I'm from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Jordan from Federal Way, Washington.
Okay, we are in Mark 14, 43, and the context looks like it goes quite a ways.
Is it 52 or is that not real?
Or is it 65? 52. It goes to 65. Okay. Oh, no, there's a 23. 52. Okay.
52.
43 to 52 and then 53 to 65.
Okay. And straightway, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and staves from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. Now who delivered him up had given them a token, saying, Whomever I shall kiss, that is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And when he had come, straightway he came to him and saith, Rabbi, and kissed him much. They laid hands on him and took him. But the certain one of the bystanders drew his sword and smote the bondman of the high priest and struck off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, Are you come out as against a robber with swords and staves to seize me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But this is that the scriptures might be fulfilled. All left him and fled. And a certain young man followed with him, having a linen cloth cast about him over his naked body, and they lay hold on him, but he left the linen cloth and fled naked.
That is an interesting, why would, Andy's got this funny look. I think Andy just got a visual on that. He probably imagines himself, you know. But what do they used to call it, candid camera? That is a candid camera shot. This is recorded. Is that in other places that he fled naked? Nope. It is the only place where that is found. Hmm. Then all the disciples forsook him in Matthew. Then all forsook him and fled. So all these...
This piece
11,
not in there.
All 12 are gone. One's a traitor. The 11 fled when this took place. And then this is all by itself. And then a young man followed him and nothing but a linen cloth about his body. Well, if you're going to follow Jesus, I would say wear a full set of clothes and maybe double garments. If you want to be not running away naked. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. What significant? I guess we'll have to leave that one. Anyway, that's just a side note. Now, here's that other immediately. While Jesus was speaking, here comes Judas, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests. Isn't that an interesting comment? These were not just people of their own volition that are coming to kill Jesus. It's at the request, maybe even paid. Were they paid to do this, I wonder? Or anyway, riled up or whatever? And it was, they came from the head of the religious in this country. Let's just forget Jew or Greek. If we are Judeo-Christian, they're claiming they are the same as the Jews. This is religious people just like we are. I guess what side are you on? And so the leaders, this all came from them plus the scribes, but now it, in both Matthew, I don't know that it mentioned elders before being against Jesus, did it?
I don't see.
I don't remember that happening. But both Matthew and Mark, Matthew 26:47, it talks about this, and Mark.
A chief priest and elders, it says in Matthew.
Right, 26:47.
Yep.
But are the elders mentioned as being conspirators before that?
It says the great crowd with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people, which is very, the one that gets added in Mark is the scribes were involved in it too.
Right. Scribes are added, but do you see elders before Matthew 26:47-56? Do you see the term elders, or do you see term elders being part of the conspiracy before this moment?
I don't remember seeing it in Mark. It's not in Mark. Is it in Mark?
The term elder? We'd have to look that up, but it looks like they even got them. An elder back at that time was an older person that had experience that they respected, the people respected that were part of their leadership. So
like
even
fathers, like.
Yeah, like a father, an elder, you know,
somebody older,
not 20 years. I don't think you could be an elder till you're like 30, a more mature person. And do you remember seeing this before? And I don't remember seeing the term elder as being against Jesus before this time.
I don't remember reading that at all since we started going through Mark.
Mm-mm. I sure remember
the
chief
priests. So
it's
got the whole group of them now.
Yeah.
They got the whole group of them. So in the scribes, they've been mentioned before.
I'm guessing, I'm thinking I'm right on this, that the conspiracy started from the top of their leadership. And that's the problem with ruling from the top down instead of the servitude where, and making everybody equal and the ones that are become a servant of all. Didn't it say, instead of being a leader, we're to be a servant of all?
And these chief priests, elders, and scribes and elders got together people, the crowd with the swords and staves, and sent them into the Garden of Gethsemane. You don't see them hanging in the Garden of Gethsemane. They sent them in there. It says they came in there and they were with a crowd with swords and staves from the chief priests. So they came from them. They weren't going to them. They weren't going to get out there and get their hands dirty.
Nope. Right. They don't
see
do
what
it,
I mean?
But they're the,
they're
it's,
the they
it's
impetus.
Like the drug dealers, you
yes.
know, the kingpins.
They stay back under behind the next gates and you bring him over to us.
The rich ones that are kingpins that don't get their hands dirty, that get away with it. So what is Judas Iscariot's new name?
You mean Judas?
Verse 44, what's his new name?
Betrayer.
The betrayer. The betrayer does not mention his name either in Matthew or in Mark. It does not mention his name. It says the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, now the betrayer had given them a sign.
Oh, now who delivered him? Okay.
The betrayer.
Yeah.
That's Judas's new name, new title.
They wouldn't even say his name.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even say his name.
And what did he do? What was the first thing he did?
He kissed him.
Kissed him.
That was the sign.
Yeah. So don't trust kisses. don't trust, even if a person is, you know, not everybody who walks with Jesus is, he said there'll be tares amongst the wheat. They might not be disclosed till the hour that Jesus returns. Don't think this won't happen again. There's somebody that maybe kisses you, you know, a kiss is not always a kiss, like moi. That's not always a kiss. It says an answer, you know, the right answer.
An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips.
Like a person that gives a kiss on the lips. The right
answer. So there was honesty involved in it.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Huh. Who gives the right answer is he that kisses the lips. And so there can be a false kiss where you don't give the right answer, but the true kiss is like when you are really giving the right answer. Judas gave a false answer, so it might appear like it's the right answer, but it's really from a betrayer. These are things you have to really stop and think about. When you're dealing with men, what you see on the outside is not always what's in a man's heart.
There's another proverb that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he just got done saying that the people who are going to be betraying you are going to be your own family before. So that doesn't surprise me.
Oh, he experienced it.
Read that part from 44, and look at this word kiss, and read to 44 to 46 about the kiss.
Now who delivered him up had given them a token, saying, whomever I shall kiss, that is he, take him and lead him away safely. And when he was come straightway, he came to him, saith, Rabbi, and kissed him much.
And what did they do in 46?
And they laid hands on him and took him.
In Matthew, it says, and so, you know, he came to Jesus, the betrayer, and he said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, why are you here? Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. It's a little different picture in Matthew, but it's the same thing, a little more detail in Matthew.
He called him friend. Why do you come?
Because Jesus said, speaking of Judas Iscariot, we had sweet fellowship together. Jesus was really sad about it. He knew that he was going to betray him, but they had sweet fellowship together. Jesus was honest in doing it, but the betrayer wasn't. It had to happen. Anything else saw?
In my version, it says, this has happened, but this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures.
What verse is that?
That's in...
I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but that the scriptures might be fulfilled.
What verse are you reading?
That's 49 in mine.
Oh, you're later.
Yeah, it's 49.
I got to turn the page. Day after day, I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me.
Right after that.
Yeah. Then what happened?
All of them left?
They all left him.
Now, they had not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the strength. Not one could stand. Even Peter, who became supposedly a pillar, they all left him. But it had to be done that way. And then the unusual story about the man that
fled.
And it's in Panon, so it's in the original Greek. All left him and fled. And a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth cast about him. That story's in Panon's too. Is there any more? Mark 14, 53 to 72. Is the next context.
And they led Jesus away unto the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes come together. and Peter had followed him afar off, even within, into the court of the high priest. And he was sitting with the officers and warming himself in the light. Now the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were seeking witness against him, Jesus, to put him to death, and found not. For many bear false witness against him, and their witness agreed not together. And certain stood up and bear false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.' And not even thus did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Answerest thou nothing? What do these witness against thee?' But he was silent and answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him and said to him, 'Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, coming with the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest rent his clothes and said, 'What further need do we have to have witness? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?' And they all condemned him to worthy of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say to him, 'Prophesy,' and the officers received him with blows."
Can you imagine they are striking the Creator? And they were following the top religious leader, maybe the Billy Graham of the day, or I'm not saying this is Billy Graham, but what men considered to be the top, the Pope, or some cardinal or somebody that people esteem to be the highest, and let's say he is actually doing that. Are you really know what you're doing following these men? Or do you need to know the Bible?
Well, this guy was the highest guy.
He was the highest.
He was the highest guy.
Yeah. According to inheritance, according to genealogy.
And that was the point. He was the highest guy. So the highest guy.
Of the priesthood. The priesthood, a Levite.
Would be a highest guy now. Yeah. What do they say about it?
His dad had to be a high priest, who was a son of a high priest, son of a high priest, son of a high priest that went all the way back to Levi, that went back to Abraham. And Moses went back to that. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, "I am." That's all he said. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in with the clouds in heaven. And the high priest said, "What do we need for witness?"
We ripped his clothes.
Yeah. He ripped his clothes and he's saying he's blaspheming. And he's exactly doing the opposite of what he should be. And most people are going to follow.
The leader.
Now, we read about the Antichrist. He's going to pretend to be a priest. He's going to he's going to stand and actually say he is Christ. He's going to play the place of the Christ. Are you going to listen to him, or are you going to, it says you'll know them by their what, Steve?
It says you'll know them by their fruit.
Yeah, you brought that up before, didn't
mm-hmm.
you? You'll know them. The only thing it really says, it doesn't say you'll know them by anything else, does it ever?
No, it says something that can be measured.
Yeah.
In a righteous way, that can be measured, not by any other looks, nothing.
And what are we talking? Explain that a little bit, would you?
Well, there's where that's used in Matthew 7. He doesn't explain any of that, but then when you look in Galatians, it gives you a list of 9 of those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, which are things that we can look for in a person: love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. It's at 9. Those are the characteristics you can look for?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was measuring this high priest right here in this story, I don't see one of those.
anger, malice, wrath, all the lusts of the flesh.
Yeah, he's got every one of them.
Inciting a riot, you know, it's there. And when it lists the lusts of the flesh, there were 18, twice as many as the fruit of the Spirit, and then it used the word et cetera, anything like it.
Uh-huh.
Anger, wrath, malice, strife, envy. Anyway, there's 18 of them. Deceit, heresy, and so on. There's actually 18 listed. And it says you'll know them by their fruit. Somebody read that. It's in
Matthew 7?
No, Galatians.
Oh, Galatians 5.
5.
Lust of the flesh.
Yeah. The lusts of the flesh are, but pay attention to that last one, et cetera, the like, anything like it. Go, whoever gets it.
Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these.
Keep going.
Which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
So here's, you could see one hand or the other, and I can't see any of the fruit of the Spirit in the priest. But now we are without excuse. We have a list to go by to know if we are really seeing a person who is godly, you know, that we're listening to, or if they're ungodly. By the way, that love, the first love, is agape love. It has no emotions to it. It is... there are 13, in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, it has 13 different verses that show you all the characteristics of this agape love. And it suffers wrong. Everything Jesus did shows the agape love. It is unselfish. It does not led by emotions and passions. It's led by the truth. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And is there anything more to say about this? So they condemned him as deserving death. And they spit on him and covered his face and struck him. Can you imagine striking the Lord? And these are people built up to a religious frenzy, listening to the high priest, to the scribes, and to the elders of the church in that town. Now, people are all going to say in America, no, it's not a Christian church. It's those Jews over there. The Muslims will say the same thing. Different people will say the different things. But I think if you take the religious leaders, take their names, scribes, Pharisees, lawyers, and so on out of it, and this was the church, the Judeo-Christian that set up that believes that way, these are the leaders of that. And so what does your church come to? Are they truth seekers, or are they men followers, or are you reading your Bible and you praying an hour a day? It just talked about all these things, didn't it? You going to read that, finish that context, Andy?
Sure. Starting in verse 66.
And we're going to read to the end of the chapter.
And as Peter was beneath in the court, there comes one of the maids of the high priest, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked on him and said, "You were also with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out into the forecourt. And the maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This is one of them." But he again denied it. And after a little again, the bystanders said to Peter, "Truly, you're one of them, for thou also art a Galilean." But he began to curse and to swear, "I know not this man of whom we speak." And straightway, the second time, the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word, how that Jesus said to him, "Before the cock crew twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought thereon, he wept.
Could somebody look up verse 71 and read Matthew? Yeah, I think it's Matthew. Matthew 26, 71. Can you read that? Go ahead. Anybody that gets it.
Verse 71?
Yep.
When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
So another, and this one says, my translation said the same, "and the maid saw him," suggesting it's the same maid. That's interesting. 2271?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what Pannon says.
And when he was gone out into the porch, another saw him and saith to those there, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." And again he denied with an oath, "I know not the man." And after a little they stood by, came and said to Peter, "Truly thou art one of them. Thy very speech betrays thee." Then began to curse and swear, "I know not the man." And straightway the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Peter actually said, "I know not this man," in Mark 14:71. "I know not this man. Whoa.
That's like...
Yeah, specific. Specific. You shall not, and not just a blank, "this man." And that's in Pannon's.
Yeah, it is "this man." "I know not the man," and then "I know not this man."
And
Matthew says "the man."
He went out and wept bitterly. Because that's, you, what you're looking at is somebody, all these men walked with Jesus 3.5 years, and every one of them turned their back on him because they did not have the Spirit. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes within you." They just didn't mean they didn't want to. I would look at them and say, all of them meant really, really well, but what they did was the best they could do. For all have sinned and fall short. You can really see that
arrow. It can only take them so far. Their love for somebody could only take them so far.
Physical love. And you can see that arrow falling short. They wanted to. But until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."